Whoa, dude, it's the Ramble Room. Get on your fucking skateboard. Let's go dirt boarding with Chris and Johnny.
Remember when, what's his face told you to roller skate your way through life?
Yeah, Eric Von Detten.
That's the energy that you're
what's
giving.
What's your face?
That's the energy that you just gave this.
Well, good, because he would have fit perfectly in with this universe.
Guys, listen.
Johnny Capahala.
We had to update our recording software.
Yeah.
And now everything looks new and pretty.
It does. It does honestly look better. And you uploaded it through Chrome instead of Safari, which I think was a good option. A good choice.
Thank you. I do what I can. So, I have to tell a story?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what you're going to tell.
When I was a little girl, I was obsessed. Don't make that face. I was obsessed
where's this going?
With Dora the Explorer. All right?
Yeah.
There's a point to this. When I was watching Dora the Explorer as a child, there was an episode, I recall, where her cousin comes to visit. And her cousin is Diego, who later gets a spinoff show called Go Diego Go.
Of Go Diego Go fame.
And I watched, I didn't watch that. But you know what I did watch? I watched Wizards of Waverly Place, which starred a young Selena Gomez, a young David Henry, and a young JT Austin.
Why did you bring up Go Diego Go then?
Because then, as I watched and became obsessed with Wizards of Waverly Place, I realized that the person who does the voice for Go Diego Go was none other than Max, a.k.a. JT Austin. And that really threw my mind out of the window. It really blew the shorts off my socks.
What? The shorts off your socks?
It did. And I thought, certainly there's no way. But there was. And I don't know if he still does the voice for Go Diego Go. I also don't know if Go Diego Go is a TV show anymore. I know Dora the Explorer is, but they've reanimated it and it's not good.
I have no idea. Okay, we watched Johnny Capahala Back on Board, which is just Johnny Tsunami 2. And honestly, Aaron, I don't remember anything of this movie.
It was terrible.
We wrote,
I remember that.
Nothing of note because there's truly, this is a bad sequel. I feel like there's a lot of options we could have gone in, and this was not it.
I would agree.
But here's the synopsis. This came out in 2007. Synopsis is, Johnny returns to Hawaii and has to babysit his 12-year-old Uncle Chris. Uncle Chris is in quotations, by the way.
Can I ask you a question?
What?
Be candid with me here. Was my opening story super lame?
Was it lame?
Because it's not really a story.
I mean, I guess it is.
It's just some fun facts that anybody could get off IMDb.
I mean,
but I just,
what else would you have told? What
I just remember being shocked when I found out that Diego was also JT Austin.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember if I ever had a moment like that where I realized voice acting was a thing. I don't know. I'm trying to think.
Of like actors doing voice acting?
Yeah, where I was like shocked that it was the same person.
I haven't had it now, but
maybe like Christopher Lloyd as Rasputin. That's pretty shocking when you find out. You're like, oh.
That just means that he did like a really good job.
Well, yeah. Anyway.
I don't have that now, but more so it's like sitting there listening to a voice and going, I know that voice. Why do I know that voice? Who is that voice?
Yeah. Trying to figure it out.
As opposed to, that's him? Or her? All right.
So this movie, we start off with Johnny Capahala and he's back home snowboarding. And then there's interstitial shots of Johnny Tsunami surfing. Then we find out Johnny is going back to Hawaii to visit Johnny Tsunami because he's getting married to a woman named Carla, played by Robin Lively, the teen witch.
Married to
Coach Bolton.
Bart Johnson, a.k.a. Coach Bolton, sister of Blake Lively. So If you think about it, Thanksgiving at their house, pretty fun. You got Coach Bolton and you got Deadpool.
My word, you're so stupid. Okay, so then...
All right, guys, I'm going to check out now.
Yeah, okay, so Ariana's gone. Okay, you haven't gone silent because you're smashing your microphone.
I thought I went silent. Wait, does this make me silent? I'm checking out now.
So they get to Hawaii, and Johnny is talking to Johnny Tsunami. We should just call him Tsunami. So Johnny is
Call him Tsunami and Kapahala.
Okay. Kapahala talks to Tsunami. And he's like, oh, I'm so happy for you. And Tsunami says, yeah, Carla, she has a son. Kapahala's like, whoa, I got an uncle? That's awesome. I'm ready to meet this uncle. And it turns out his uncle is a 12-year-old boy named Chris. And Chris does not like Kapahala. But Tsunami's encouraging them to get along. He wants them all to get along as a family. And Carla wants them to get along. So he offers to hang out with him. He and his friend Sam, who I believe is from the first movie as well. A girl? No, a boy. They take him to go around town and they come across the Dirt Devils, who are dirt boarders, I guess. They have like wheels on their board. I didn't know this was a thing. But they have wheels on their board and it's almost like off-road vehicles. I don't fucking know anything. So they come across the Dirt Devils. Valerie is one of the girls on the team. She might be the only girl on the team. But immediately Kapahala and Chris both are like, oh, this girl's cute. But the rest of the Dirt Devils are mean. And we realize they're supposed to be the villains / rivals of this movie. Also, there's a subplot where Tsunami is opening up a surf shop with Carla. So that's happening too, I guess. The Dirt Devils try to, like, initiate Chris by having him do a dangerous stunt.
Isn't Dirt Devil a vacuum?
I think so. Okay. Yeah. So the vacuum, we'll call them the vacuums. The vacuums challenge Chris to a dangerous stunt. Right before he's able to do it, which Kapahala keeps saying, Chris, don't do this. It's dangerous. The police show up and they're like, get the fuck out of this property. Then Tsunami and Carla are like, what the fuck are you doing with Chris? They're like mad at Kapahala. And he's like, I was just trying to show him a good time. Chris is all upset and goes to his room. Tsunami, I think, reinforces the fact that he wants them to get along and be a happy family. And Kapahala's like, yeah, I'm trying, dude. So then he confronts the head of the Dirt Devils, and his name is Troy. And he's like,
Bolton?
No, not Troy Bolton. He's like, hey, man, can you stay away from Chris? Because you're endangering his life because he's a 12-year-old. You're trying to make him do dangerous stunts. Troy's like, the kid just wants to board. I'm just giving him a spot to board. He's not doing dirt boarding. He's basically just trying to, like, make a loophole out of it, I guess.
He's like, we never handed him the vacuum. He's not a dirt devil. I promise, kid.
He's not going to get sucked up the tube, okay?
Could you imagine, like, as an adult, a kid coming up to you and being like, you're endangering the life of my 12-year-old uncle. And what do you do? He's like, I mean, tell your old uncle to stay away from me then. I don't know who he is. Who are you?
And then Chris says, I'm not your uncle. like Spy Kids.
That's your uncle, okay?
I'm not your uncle. Are we going
to
review Spy Kids at
we
some point?
Have
I
to.
Hope so, because I love
be
those.
Good, then?
And I haven't watched the second or third one in forever, so it'd be good
Glenn
to review.
Glenn Powell is in the third one, and Elijah Wood.
There's a bunch of people in the third one.
Is George Lopez in all of them, or was not Lopez? That no. was, okay.
That's Sharkboy
Lava
Girl.
I meant George Clooney, though.
Yeah, I don't know if he's in all of them. He's definitely in the first one.
All right. Anyway, checking back out.
I don't know why you keep checking back out. This episode is not going to be long, by the way.
No, we're going to make it maybe 30 minutes.
Maybe, with the commercial in between.
Can I be honest? The commercial is going to be the most of the podcast.
That'll be the longest part of this. Okay, Chris is getting ready to skate with the vacuums before Kapahala shows up with Sam. And they're like, whoa, dude, you can't skate here. It's dangerous, like we've said before. And Chris is pissed off at them. So he runs away. Then again, Kapahala has some heart-to-heart with Tsunami, probably reinforcing the same thing. Listen, kid, I just want you to get along, and I want our families to get along. I'm not sure what, you know, this is what I mean by there's really no point to this.
If you guys don't get along, I won't be able to marry his wife, and I haven't gotten any in years.
Yeah.
This is my one shot.
So,
she'll date anybody. She once dated Troy Bolton's father. She also is the only person to talk to me in the past 20 years. Come on, boys. Come on, boys. Come on.
Johnny, or sorry, excuse me, Kapahala.
That is a quote that only the deepest High School Musical fans will understand, but...
You have to listen to the soundtrack version of Now or Never from High School Musical 3. Kapahala is talking to Valerie, and she is trying to hang out with this dude. I think she likes him. And she's like, oh, can you teach me how to surf since you've learned how to surf last time you were here?
I think she likes him. It's blatantly obvious.
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I smell a crush.
This is the thing I started doing.
Ariana does this whenever there's a ship on a TV show that hasn't started, but it looks like it's going to.
Like, Melissa and I watch TV shows together, among other things.
Yeah.
Among movies.
Yeah.
But, like, we specifically will pick out TV shows that we want to watch with the other person, like, that one of us has watched that the other hasn't. And anytime I get a whiff of a ship, I immediately go, I smell a ship.
Yeah.
A ship pulling in.
She'll dramatically start sniffing the air. And you know, I know what she's going to say.
And what's funny is that Melissa is like,
is that a ship I detect?
Melissa will go, no. I go, oh. Like, if it's like, if I'm far off, she's like, no, Ariana. Nobody in the history of watching the show has ever shipped those two together. I'm trying to think of like an
but
example.
You wouldn't be shipping an old man with like a younger.
No, no, no. I'm trying to think of an example. But there was one in Downton Abbey that I went, do I smell a ship? And you were like, no.
Chris is watching Kapahala teach Val how to surf. And he's getting jealous because he's also got a crush on Val. So this just adds to Chris being mad and upset with Kapahala. Then Kapahala once again is like forced to hang out with Chris. I think this time they're blackmailed in some way, but I don't remember how.
Can I also just say, so that's cool. I'd be pissed.
Yeah. I'd be like, this kid does not like me and you're forcing him to hang out with me, which is even worse.
I'd be like, he doesn't like me. And to be completely honest, at this point, I don't care for him either. So how about he just does his thing, I'll do my thing, and stop blaming me every time that he gets in trouble. I'm not his father. In fact, you should be the one, Tsunami, who's spending more time with him. It really doesn't matter if I get along with him. He's my uncle.
Yeah. I'm not your uncle.
I barely see you, Grandpa.
Yeah. Okay, so this is what happens, is Kapahala blackmails Chris into coming with them. Because I guess he's like, hey, Val's gonna hang out with us, and Chris is over the moon about this. So they all go hang out with Val. The vacuums end up showing up, and they actually show everyone a good time on ATVs. So they're all... What? They do.
They show up, they show out, they show up in their skimpy little outfits, and they show everybody a good time.
That's not what I... That's literally not what I meant.
It sounds like it, though.
Well, whatever. They show everyone a good time on their ATVs. And finally, Chris and Kapahala are getting along.
Oh. Hello, my name is Joseph Drede, but you can just call me Drede.
And I'm Trudy.
And you're listening to QVC HSNBC BSRJ.
That was a little lazy. Better pick up the slack next time. You're getting fired.
Getting fired, me? Would you like to know the product for today?
I guess, yeah.
It is fresh out the market, never heard of before in your life.
Okay.
It's called candy corn.
Okay, I'm aware of corn and I'm aware of candy. What, then they sweeten up the corn? Like kettle corn?
No. It is...
Like caramel corn?
No.
I don't know any other corns. Like the band corn?
That's gay. K-O-R-N.
So this is spelled C-O-R-N?
Correct. It is,
That's the internet safe way to say porn. Did you know that?
So candy corn is, a candy that is, yellow on the outside. And it's orange on the middle.
What?
And it's white at the end.
What?
The other end. And when you stack them...
Yellow on the outside, so if you cut it open, there's orange and white in the middle?
No. Yellow is the bottom. It is like sticks. Like a stick, but it sticks? Is a triangle. Stack.
Okay, it's like it's a triangle.
And on the bottom layer is yellow, then it is orange, then it is white.
What is the logic behind that?
So that when you stack them together in circle and one on top of each other, if you stack enough of them, it looks like corn.
What?
Did you know this, Trudy?
Obviously I didn't. It's a new product.
Well, it is candy that is kind of like wax.
When have you ever seen corn that is orange? It's called corn. Answer me. Orange corn? What the fuck is that?
No, it's
never seen
not
that in my life.
It's just the color scheme, okay? I don't understand.
But you said it looks like corn when it's
it does
up.
When you stack it, when you place it in circle and then you put more on top of the others, it looks like an ear of corn. But it is like the texture of wax, but it is sugary.
The texture of wax. Yes. Might as well just get my candle out of my Aunt Vivian's closet and start munching on that.
If it's healthy, I'm sure you could eat it if you wanted to. And if it tastes good.
Well, I've already eaten it before, so I'd just be dipping back into something that's already been eaten.
So is it,
I don't know if it's edible.
What does it taste like?
Who knows what's gone to my head after eating that?
What does it taste like?
Like wax? With chemicals in it? Pretty delicious, actually.
See, candy corn doesn't taste like wax. It
you sure?
Like candy.
You said it has a wax-like substance.
No, I said it feels like wax when it is in your
teeth. So what's it made out of?
I could not tell you.
Oh, my God. We can't even provide nutrition facts? Do we have an intern that's doing that?
No, there's nutrition facts on the bag or the box. I just don't have bag or box here, so
that
I can't look
ridiculous.
It up. And I didn't memorize nutrition facts. Do you always memorize the nutrition facts of things that you eat and put in your mouth?
Obviously, I knew the candle was made out of wax and some chemicals.
That's not specific enough. I know
it's
that
more specific than what you're giving
I know
me
that
for the candy corn.
Would you shut your mouth? I know that it is sugar.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize this was
there's
the solo
sugar
Judy
and
show.
Food coloring. Are you happy? There's sugar and there's food coloring in it.
That's not descriptive enough. What kind of sugar?
Cane.
Cane sugar?
I'm sure.
I doubt it. It's probably granulated, bleached sugar.
Whatever. Either way, I gave more specifics than you. You said wax and chemical. I said sugar and food coloring. This is same level of descriptiveness.
Yeah, but we're not selling my Aunt Vivian's candle in a closet.
No, we're
selling
candy corn.
Exactly, so you should be more specific. We don't have an intern that does this.
Kyle?
What happened to Fred?
Oh, his name is Fred. I don't know. I haven't seen him in a week. I don't know if he knows that we're supposed to come back to office because we were gone for so long.
No one's communicated with him? I thought you were HR.
I don't have his number. You have his number.
No, I don't.
He was your friend that you hired.
I don't have any friends.
He was your
Trudy.
Friend that you were like, hey, give this guy a job. And I said, okay.
When would I have ever said that?
Before you got arrested.
How dare you bring that up? We just moved on from that.
I'm sorry.
What the fuck is wrong with you? No, look at me. Look me in the eye. Don't you look away from me. Look me in the eye. No. Trudy. How dare you bring that up? We had an agreement, a contract. Do I need to pull that out? Do I need to call Lawrence?
Your lawyer, Lawrence.
Yes. Do I need to call him?
Do I need to call Stacy?
Who the fuck is Stacy? Her mom's got it going on. Don't try and trick me, you dumbass. Listen.
I'm not trying to trick you. You say, I'm going to call Lawrence.
You know who Lawrence is. We signed a contract. You know he has it on file. Who's Stacy?
You know who Stacy is.
Who is it?
She's my lawyer.
You don't have a lawyer.
Yes, I do. They work in the same firm, you freak.
They do not.
They do too. It's Fishburne and what was his last name?
Lawrence would never work with Stacy.
Lawrence and Stacy are good friends.
No, he would never work with someone named Stacy is what I'm saying. He has a strict policy.
That is not even remotely true.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not. You are on drugs.
I've literally met him. We went through a whole trial together. I think I would know.
I met Lawrence as well. I went through trial with you both, and Stacy was there for me on my behalf.
You were in the audience. You weren't even on trial. Why would you have Stacy with you?
That is not even remotely true.
Just because you testified, you don't need a lawyer for that.
I testified for you.
Yeah, you don't need a lawyer for that.
Yes, I did.
For what?
For legal advice.
What did Stacy look like?
She had blonde hair.
There was no blonde-haired person in a trial room.
Everyone
was pasty with brown hair.
You were busy being cuffed to the table. How would you know?
Why would you talk about that? Judy, that was traumatic for me.
Because you keep saying that I'm lying and that I didn't have Stacy with me, and I did. And it hurts my feelings that you don't believe me.
No, you don't get to cry.
Yes, I know.
No, you don't.
I have emotions just like everybody else.
I'm done with this. Let's go back to the podcast.
No, they need to know that they can buy the candy corn.
Who gives a fuck about the candy corn? We're past the candy corn now. You've ruined it. You've ruined the show.
I didn't ruin anything. You're the one who ruined it.
Just give the price.
Shut up.
I will gladly shut up.
I'm going to mute you. It is $25 per bag, but $60 million if you buy a box. So it's a big, really good deal. You can get it at drudy.trudy.shop, I'm pretty sure. I'm not entirely sure. We really have to contact Fred to make sure that is all set up. But that is the end of QVC HSN. What is it? QVC HSN. Shut up. Don't you speak a word. I'll contact Lawrence and he'll be my lawyer in our divorce settlement. We're not married, but I'm divorcing you from friendship. QVC HSN NBC ABC DEFJ. Thank you so much and back to the podcast.
Pacey is, guys, our cat is the cutest cat that ever did live. I know probably other cat owners believe that about their cats, but Pacey is quite literally laying in between the, like, couch frame and the pillow. Like, he's slowly but surely sinking into the couch, becoming one with it. A real couch cat-tato, if you will.
Ari, no.
And now I will check out again.
Yeah, let's finish up this movie that was not worth our time. I'm sorry to any Johnny Capahala back on board fans, but this was not for us. I don't even know if we'll have a moral for the story.
I personally know that I don't, so.
Maybe I'll come up with something, but I have no idea. There's been way too many Tsunami Capahala heart-to-hearts in this. I have no idea what... possibly more information he could be getting from Johnny Tsunami.
And the like, Capahala's dad hasn't even talked to either one of them, really. Like Capahala's parents have not
parents
been active
are there.
In this.
Exactly. Or did they just drop them off because they work back home? Did they just drop Johnny off?
I can't remember.
Okay, well.
Either way, it's weird that they're not there, though.
Yeah. The group ends up going to a dirt boarding event to meet...
Dirt Devils?
No, not Dirt Devils. This is a dirt boarding event.
Dirt Devil.
they meet a Coney Kama, and they're trying to look for other possible sponsors, but the Vacuums end up kicking Val out of the group for hanging out with Capahala and Chris. They're like, that's our rival.
They're lame.
You can't hang out with them. So she gets kicked out, and then this causes Chris to once again run away, and I think this is maybe the fourth time he's run away in the movie.
He's a little dramatic.
Yeah, he runs away a lot. So he's upset. Then Johnny and Sam end up finding him, and Chris is fighting with Jared, who we haven't mentioned is the blonde guy who's like, he's like the captain of the Vacuums. But then there's, what was his name? Troy. Then there's Troy, who's like almost the owner of the Vacuums. I don't know.
He's the captain of the
Vacuums. Well, I said I was going to refer to him as a vacuum.
He's the Capium, if you will.
The Capium. Chris is arguing with Jared. So Troy, I guess, owns the Vacuums, but Jared is the captain, the Capium. Chris is arguing with the Capium. And Jared, he ends up challenging Chris to a very dangerous stunt, a jump that next day. And Chris ends up agreeing to it.
A junt, if you will.
Very, no. A jump stunt. And this is the same day that Carla and Tsunami have their dinner rehearsal. So he's missing their dinner rehearsal so he can do this dangerous stunt.
That, you know, priorities are well aligned there.
Yeah. And then Capahala is trying to prevent him from doing that. And I think he's like, he thinks he's successful, but then Chris, of course, ends up disappearing and running away to go do this dangerous stunt.
Is this kid a ninja? I'm so confused. How did he keep disappearing?
I don't know.
Like, Capahala will have his eyes on the kid, and then he'll turn around and the kid's gone.
I don't know. Chris ends up doing the jump, and then
shatters every bone in his body.
He should have, based on how far he fell. And then Jared's like, that was so cool, dude. But Capahala's like, he just, like, fucking broke his arm. And I'm the one that was supposed to be keeping an eye on him. So now I'm going to be in trouble. Which I think is wrong. The surf shop that Tsunami and Carla have been trying to open gets trashed. No one knows what happened. But Carla, this is, like, her last straw. Her son's been injured. The shop has been vandalized. She's going back to Pennsylvania, which I guess is where they're from.
It's all Tsunami's fault. That's what doesn't make sense to me about Carla.
Yeah.
Your son is trash. Can I be so real?
Your son is acting up.
Chris is the one who's the problem. And the fact that she doesn't see that is bad parenting.
Yeah.
There's my moral of the story. Your kid's not a saint.
During their breakup, Chris is, I believe, listening at the stairs.
And honestly, what a callback. Are you guys ready? Always check
the stairs. Always check the staircase. Kids Although, are always maybe listening. Maybe this was a doorway, but
check the stairs. Check the doorway. Check a dark corners of your home when you're having a private conversation about money, about love. Not love, but like about your personal relationship with each other. Like, just check your surroundings. Be aware of what is going on.
Chris feels bad about breaking them up now. He realizes the damage that he's done being a bratty 12-year-old.
But can I be honest? Once again, why is the... I don't feel like we can blame Chris for this. For this breakup. This breakup is solely, 100% on Carla.
Yeah, I'm not sure what her decision to do that is. Strange.
My son just doesn't get along with your grandson. Okay, well, your son...
Your grandson...
Is at fault in all of the situations.
But also, Capahala does not hang out there year-round, so they wouldn't even need to get along, technically.
No!
They'd just be around, like, during the summer, maybe. I don't know, that is really weird. Sam and Capahala, with Val's help, end up mending the surf shop from the vandalism, from it being trashed.
Right, because Capahala, here's the thing, too. Capahala cares enough about his grandpa that he's like, okay, I'll try and get along with your future son.
I know.
And, like, he loves his grandfather so much that he's willing to, you know, fix the shop and fix his marriage. And I think Tsunami needs to put in the effort here. Tsunami's done nothing but flirt with the woman. And Carla has done nothing but blame Capahala and Tsunami for her son acting out.
Yeah.
Everyone's the villain. Except for Capahala.
Yeah, Capahala's done nothing wrong. Honestly, Capahala deserves to be mad, even though he isn't.
But you know what's a bummer is that he's done nothing wrong, but he's also not done anything.
Yeah, he hasn't done anything.
At all. This movie...
And the name is... the movie's named after him.
I know. At least, you know, the first one he was doing more, and it wasn't even named after him.
But can we also talk... It's Johnny Capahala back on board, as if he's gonna learn... You would think the plot would be he's gonna learn a new type of boarding, like dirt boarding.
Which he...
He didn't. It's just that dirt boarding's involved in the plot. I mean, we got
18 minutes left of the movie.
No, it's not going to happen. Chris ends up apologizing. With the surf shop being mended, I guess Carla's like, okay, we can get married now. I don't know. It's kind of weird. Weird to associate
feels like
that.
It feels like a gold digging situation. Not because, you know, all of the money that's in surfboards. I was only here for the surf shop.
Surfboards are expensive.
No, I know. But in Hawaii, I feel like... I could be wrong. I've never been.
Exactly. So you shouldn't have an opinion on it.
My guess, though, is that there's probably surfboard shops all around Hawaii.
Maybe. Maybe not.
They're completely surrounded by water.
Yeah, but are they as well made as Johnny Tsunami's surfboards? He's a pro surfer.
I'm sure there's a pro surfer surf shop somewhere.
Well, they end up opening Tsunami's store, and Akoni Kama, the dirt boarder that they were hoping would show up, ends up showing up, which is really cool. Also across the street, the vacuums, they end up finding Troy, who owns the vacuums, in an argument with Val's dad because they kicked her off the team. What is this? There's a race?
Yeah, and Capahala does it, I'm pretty sure, and it's on the dirt boards.
What?
I'm telling you.
There's a dirt board race. Capahala's had zero experience, as far as we know, with dirt boarding. He was on the ATV, right?
Because Max was going to do it, and Matt, and then I think, I can't remember.
You mean Chris, but not Max.
Chris was going to do it, but something, I think his mom was like, you can't run with those vacuums anymore.
Like, sprained his arm.
So Johnny does it to defend Chris's honor.
Okay, well... They have this final race, and it starts with Troy in the lead. Then he ends up falling when trying to do one of the three required tricks and crashes into, like, a barrier. Capahala ends up winning. And then Troy is arrested after the police find out that he told Jared to trash the shop. I don't remember any of that.
Okay, so Jared is the one who trashes the shop.
But he did it because Troy told him to, and Troy is the adult in this situation.
Correct.
Because he owns the vacuums.
Correct.
The dirt vacuums.
Correct.
The
vacuums, if you will.
Oh my god. So yeah, he gets arrested. It is kind of similar to Brink, where it's like the race at the end.
Come on, Brink.
Come on, Brink. Though no one's arrested in Brink. I don't think.
Eat it, shoot it, and flee it.
So Capahala wins. Carla and Tsunami finally get married. And it ends with Chris and Capahala and Tsunami going out to surf on the beach together.
So what's your moral of the story, Mel?
My moral of the story is it turns out you can have too many heart-to-hearts with your grandson. Because I think there were at least 10 in this whole movie. Took up a lot of time, and I don't think anything was accomplished with any of those heart-to-hearts. Nothing was accomplished.
It's true.
So, it turns out you can have too many. You should limit those. Otherwise, they just become an everyday conversation. It's not really a heart-to-heart anymore. Do you have one?
With a little bit of luck and a lot of bit of money, you too can make a movie about nothing.
Yeah. An hour and 33-minute movie about nothing.
And
And Melissa, it's supposed to be some big sequel. It's not. They did not follow through on this.
And Melissa and I will watch it.
Never again. I'm not going to watch this ever again.
No, I'm saying, if you, the listener, did you not hear anything I said? I said, with a little bit of money.
Yeah.
And whatever, whatever, whatever. You too can make a movie about nothing. And Melissa and I will watch it. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, but we'll only watch it once.
Correct.
I gotcha.
We gotta go. It's midnight, I think.
All right.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.